You are listening to Meditation Moment. God bless you and make you a blessing. It's our prayer that these few moments of meditation will bring you cheer and spiritual inspiration. It's not our intention to sermonize or expound in these few brief moments, but to bring you quiet meditations on faith, prayer, and power. Some of you know that we broadcasted in this area a long time ago, years ago. You might ask, what of the years since then? Well, we have been constantly in the service of the Lord, and in the words of a familiar poem, we find our testimony of those years. He was better to me than all my hopes. He was better than all my fears. He made a bridge of my broken works and a rainbow of my tears. The billows that guarded my sea-girt path but carried my Lord on their crest. When I dwell on the days of my wilderness march, I have leaned on his love for the rest. True, he emptied my hands of my treasured store, but his covenant love revealed, till there was not a wound in my aching heart, but the balm of his breath had healed. Has he changed for me? No, he changes not. He will bring me by some new way, through fire and flood and each crafty foe, as safely as yesterday. He guided by paths that I could not see, by ways that I have not known. The crooked he made straight and the rough made plain as I follow the Lord alone. Oh, there's never a watch on the dreariest halt, but some promise of his endears. And I read from the past my future shall be far better than all my fears. And you note those words particularly where it says here that sometime on that march it shall be far better than all my fears, and I can truly say that that is true. Now I want to turn because of this to a favorite passage of scripture and a subject that has become the theme of my life, messages, the promises of God. And I turn to the Bible and what the inspired word says about these promises. Wonderful passage in 2 Peter in the first chapter. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now Peter says that you know these things, but he wants to stir you up regarding them. And you know them well, but God stir you by putting you in remembrance again. You know, God's word makes it plain that the promises are so important because they make you to become partakers of the heavenly nature. So it's not merely getting things from God when we put so much emphasis on promises, but it's for a far more important reason, that you might become a partaker of the heavenly nature. Wonder if you ever had a friend upon whom you could utterly depend, who was absolutely faithful to you when things were going wrong. Such friends are so few, but how truly we value them. Someone has said there's a strange bond that links a man to that which he has found to be dependable and true. There's a tie that really binds you to the one you can utterly trust to stand by in stormy weather. Do you wonder then that anyone who's tried and proven the promises in God's word and found them so unfailing and absolutely trustworthy, that they should feel this strong bond of confidence in them? Many of you listening in who have had no help, no hope, nothing to lean on in the dark hours, have found that it is true that he hath not failed in one of all his good promises. No wonder we have come through the storms with such a great love for God's word. Oh, my friend, if these promises are not worthy of unconditional, limitless trust, then the gospel of the love and grace of God would be a myth, a fabric of untruth. But we know through long experience that we can put our full weight upon them and trust in every single word. For according to God's word, we know in whom we have believed. And we are persuaded that he's able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. And when the troubles and trials come, instead of letting them grow and grow like Jonah's gourd, why not get your Bible and find a promise and claim it in Christ's name and step out upon it without the least fear? You know, many modern scientific-minded people think it utterly ridiculous to take the promise literally seriously. But isn't it strange that in an age of mysterious, powerful, invisible forces such as we have today, like the radar, television, atomic energy, jet propulsion, that we should doubt the power of a mighty God and his supernatural working in answer to prayer? In the plant of the Sikorsky factory, there's a sign that reads, "According to recognized aerotechnical tests, the bumblebee cannot possibly fly because of the shape and weight of his body in relation to the total wing area." But the bumblebee doesn't know this, so he just goes ahead and flies away. So it is that in spite of all this philosophical reasoning, there are those of trusting childlike faith who are daily doing things, getting things through God's power, but the doubting intellectual says just can't be done. These are daring to appropriate these promises just as they are, acting upon them, why they're getting the most wonderful answers to prayer, problems solved, needs met. You see, the bumblebee goes ahead and flies nevertheless. So you just let the philosophers tangle themselves up in the web of difficulty, and the intellectual doubter try to explain away our rights to accept these promises just as they are. But there's some folks that are listening in, and some we know who'll walk right in and enjoy to the full all the riches that God has for us. You don't have to comprehend the greatness of it all or understand how God's going to do it. Just by simple faith, accept and apply them. Don't let anybody limit your faith. God will stand behind that promise you chose in your hour of need, that you need him so much right now, someone listening in. For God says, "Call on me, I will answer thee." And he said, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I do." Oh, child, believe it, because the mouth of God has spoken it. Today, this day now, the very words of God are tingling with supernatural power to be released by the touch of your faith. By the way, how is your faith? If you'll answer one question, I can tell you how your faith is. Have you been reading God's word faithfully, earnestly, daily, with an open heart and mind? If you have, your faith is strong and active. "For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," says the word of God. So don't ask people to pray that you'll have faith. Just get that Bible down, get back to God's word, read it and read it, and you'll have faith, beloved. Remember, God has said it. Remember, it's God's word, the unfailing word of the unfailing God, and he will meet you. We marvel at his willingness when we meet the conditions. Remember, meet the conditions. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able. Remember, he's still on the throne, and prayer changes. Our Father God, we thank thee for these wonderful promises and provisions in thy word. Help us that we may so live that our hearts will not condemn us, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. For that one that has a very special need this hour, bless and encourage their faith. Grant faith and courage, Lord, to each one. Remember thy blessings of past years that thou hast never changed. For the unsaved, we ask thy mercy to continue in days of grace to give them, that they might find thee as their Savior and friend. And for your own children, an unwavering faith in thy precious word. Oh, Father God, bless each one. thank you for this all. Amen. God is still on the throne. Prayer changes things.